You guys can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Tonight I wanted to share on the adversary's influence, the adversary's influence, and this is kind of in light of what happened earlier in the week at the Capitol building. We have a very divided nation right now when it comes to politics and social issues and everything that's going on, but it's important that we don't lose sight of the bigger picture. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," which means we don't fight against flesh and blood, against other people, against stuff in the physical realm. But here's what we do fight against: principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Word of God says, and this is the truth, right? That's why we look at it. The Word of God says that our fight is a spiritual one. We fight against spiritual wickedness in high places, not against flesh and blood. So our fight is against the adversary. And why is that our fight? We'll go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "And the devil, taking him," talking about Jesus Christ, "up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto" who? "Me." "Unto me. And to whomsoever I will," whoever I want to, "I can give it." Right? That was what the devil said to Jesus Christ. The world belongs to Satan. It was transferred to him in the fall of man. He is the God of this world. So when bad things happen in this world, guess what? He's the one behind it. Okay? Satan is the God of the world. It's his. Right? Because God created man and gave it to him, and then Adam sinned and relinquished control and dominion. Okay? So the reason why our fight is a spiritual one is because this world belongs to Satan. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. So there is a God of this world. And he's not a nice God. He's a bummy, scrummy God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Now Romans 5, 8 says, "But God commendeth," or demonstrated, he showed, "his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners," while we were still sinners, "Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So we're saved. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So when man gets born again, they are saved. They are reconciled back to God, right? That is what it says in verse 10, that we are reconciled back to God. Now, reconciled means that we are joined back together with, okay? We're joined back together with God. It also says in verse 10 that before that, the word calls us enemies, right? Enemies of God. So before we were enemies of God, and now we are reconciled to God. Okay? So if you put those three verses together, who do you think the unsaved, the unreconciled belong to? The adversary, right? They're not reconciled to God. Who runs the world? The adversary. That's right. So when bad stuff happens or people do bad things, it's because there's a God of this world. It's because there's an adversary at work. And we're going to see that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were before dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." So before that, before being born again, you used to walk according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. And do you know who the prince of the power of the air is referring to? The adversary, the devil. So it says, in times past, we walked according to who? The devil. That's a lot to take in, right? That hurts sometimes to think about it. But it's true. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He works in the children of disobedience. He works in them. Right? That's what it says. How do the unsaved walk? According to the God of this world. That means the devil is pulling the strings. Okay? That's what it means. He's at work. It says so. And it says in verse 3, "Among whom we all had our conversation or manner of living in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Okay? And that's what's describing the unsaved, the unreconciled to God, right? The adversary is at work. He is at work. And they... people, if they don't know any better, are walking according to what the devil wants, what the adversary wants. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. God put in His Word this information so that we wouldn't be ignorant of it. 1 Peter 5, 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may," what? "Devour." Whom he can chew up and spit out. Whom he can take advantage of. Right? He's looking for the easy prey. He can't be everywhere at once. He's not God. That's what God can do. So he walks about looking for easy prey, for those he can take advantage of. Right? And it says in verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Right? That stuff happens to other people in the world. We can resist the devil because we believe, right? Because we believe, because we know God's word, but not everybody does. 1 John chapter 5. And so he looks around, seeing who he can take advantage of, seeing what situations he can work in, just like what happened at the Capitol this past week. John 5, verse 19. It says, and we know that we are of who? God. That's right, we're reconciled. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now the words lieth in wickedness there in the Greek are better translated under the power of the evil one. The whole world lieth under the power of the evil one. Okay, that's what the Word of God says. That the whole world is under the power of Satan. We are of God. We can resist. But the rest of the world? Not so lucky. Go to Revelations chapter 12. So he's all there stalking about like that lion, looking to see who he can take advantage of. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Okay, and this is imagery, the dragon being the devil. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So there's a war in heaven. And he got kicked out. There wasn't room for him anymore. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which, what?
Deceives
the whole world. Deceives the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Right? So the adversary, what does he want to do? He wants to deceive the whole world. He wants to deceive them. Because the truth is what gets men and women reconciled back to God, right? The truth is what helps us resist him. So he's in a good spot if he can deceive everybody, right? That's to his advantage. Go to John, the Gospel of John, verse 8. It hammers it home here in John. He's just out to deceive. We know he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? That's what he's up to. John 8, 44. John 8, 44. This is Jesus Christ speaking. You are of your father, the devil. Yikes. And the lusts, the desires of your father, you will do. So the desires, what the devil wants, is what they would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is how much truth in him?
None.
The devil was on fire, and you asked him if he was hot, he would say no. It's how much truth there is in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. There is no truth in him. Right? There is no truth in him. He could not put his hand on any book and tell you the truth. There's none, zero truth in the adversary. He deceives the whole world. He is the father of lies. People will ask, well, if there's a God, why do bad things happen? You hear that a lot from people who aren't going to believe God anyway. If there's a God, why do bad things happen? It's the adversary at work, right? He's the God of this world. It's not God. God is a just God, right? He's fair. He doesn't overstep free will. So if people don't want deliverance, he's not just going to do it to them. They've got to want it. They've got to ask for it. It's free will. The adversary is the one at work. So just as we strive to do God's will, there's other people who strive to do Satan's. He is the father of lies. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And that's what he's doing. He's deceiving everybody. You have the media and all kinds of other people pushing that this is a Trump problem. Right? It's a devil problem, is what it is. Right? And he's at work in those people too, spreading misinformation, because he's the father of lies, causing division. Right? Is division what God wants? Or does he want everybody reconciled to him? It's what he wants. The adversary wants people separated. Matthew 16. This is really cool. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes. If you stop and you think about what that means, he was telling his disciples what he had to do and the things that were going to be done to him by those people that they normally trusted. Right? The elders, the chief priests. These are the people that they should have been trusting, right? Their leadership. So he tells them what's going to happen to him by the hand of these people. And be killed. And be raised again the third day. Lays out the whole plan for them. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be done unto thee." Do you think Peter loved Jesus Christ? Heck yeah, he did. Right? Took Jesus by the collar and said, "No way, man. Not on my watch." Do you think he loved him when he said that? Cared about him. Not going to let that happen to you. What did Jesus Christ say? But he turned. He said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Peter." No. That is not what he said. Peter's heart was in the right place. Peter loved Jesus Christ. He didn't want this bad stuff to happen to him. But Jesus Christ called it out for what it was. "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest, does not have a mind for. You do not mind the things that be of God, but those that be of what? Men." Right? He called it out for what it was. If it's contrary to God's word, it is of who? The devil. He is the father of lies. And what is the word of God? Truth. The truth. And so if it's against the truth, it's a lie. And he is the father of lies. And so Peter called it out for what it was. Right? He calls out Peter's rebuke for exactly what it was. Contrary to God's word. He didn't say, "Peter, you're a jerk. I need to do this. This is what God's telling me to do." He called it out for what it was. It's contrary to the truth. It's Satan's work. Peter wasn't possessed. Right? But in his love for Jesus Christ, in his wanting to take care of him, his words were still against what God wanted Jesus Christ to do. Right? And that's the standard. Is it according to the word or is it not? And some of the things that people want you to believe and some of the things that people want for this country are for division, are for giving up freedoms, are for control. Right? And God gave us free will. He wants unity. He wants love. He wants peace. Right? Those are the things that are according to God's word. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. So keep loving people, right? We're going to look at that. What can we do? Yeah. what can we do? The word tells us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, I've got flesh. Check it out. We do not war after the flesh. Right? We saw that in Ephesians. It's a spiritual battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. We're not picking up swords or guns. That's not our weapon. Our weapon is mighty through God. And it's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, to the pulling down of walls and fortresses and the things that people build up. Right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? Knowledge of God. What was Peter talking about? Things that exalted itself against God's word. He was coming from a sincere place, but it wasn't true. Right? So the word of God says that we're supposed to cast down all that stuff. Imaginations and every high thing that isn't true, that doesn't hold up to the word of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And what did Christ obey? The word of God. He always did the word of God. So we can bring our thoughts into that same obedience, that same captivity. What does the word of God say? That's our checkpoint. We don't war against flesh and blood. Our weapon is the word. Our weapon is the word. Okay? That's our standard. That's what's true. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 again, verse 11. So what we can do is fight with the word. What do we know of the word? We can put that on in our lives. We can live according to the word. That's what we can do. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the plans, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to take a stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Right? Walk like you're righteous. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right? We have the gospel to share. Above all, taking the shield of faith, our believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you believe God, you will withstand the devil. That's what it said. We'll be able to resist anything he throws at you with believing. And take the helmet of salvation, right? The knowledge that you're saved. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Speaking in tongues. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have been equipped for the fight. We have been equipped for the fight. Right? We are righteous. We are saved. Right? We have the gospel of peace. We have believing and we have the word of God. That's our weapon. Right? Because that's ultimately the only truth that we have. It is the truth. Go to 1 John 4:4. We'll close in 1 John 4:4. So that's what the adversary's up to. And he does have an influence. And until Christ comes back, that's how it's going to be. But we are equipped for the fight. We can love people. Right? The Word of God says to love people, to take care of them, to have compassion on them. Right? We really need to have compassion on people. That's what the world is missing right now, is compassion. Everybody's taken such a staunch side that there's no hearing anybody else. There's no compassion. Right? But what we need to keep in mind is the truth. We can love and we can be compassionate, check everything against God's word. That's it. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is where? In the world. We've got the victory. We've already won the war. The adversary knows that. Right? He already knows he's lost. The end of the game is not a victory for him. So he's just trying his best to muck things up while he's here. Right? That's all he can do. And we have the victory. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can share that with people, and we can take care of people and teach them what God's word has to say, right? And love and have compassion on people, but never lose sight of who's really pulling the strings, who we're really at war with, right? And that's the adversary.